There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, before we begin, let's take a moment to mention that we are in the midst of the greatest summer ever. That's right, the Pack Filler Gooder Summer promotion is fully underway. Limited number of special codes. Oh, there's a code for you to use to make your face look better than it ever has. That's right, using the one-time code of PACKFILLER15. That is 15, not don't spell it out. You, the friends of the Pack Filler, can receive a 15% discount on what is already the most affordable yet highest quality eyewear on the market. Brilliant designs, colors, special edition releases that you can afford to wear multiple styles all summer long. Get over to packfiller.com, click the link at Gooder, and be sure to use the code for your one-time discount during the Pack Filler Gooder Summer. So let's get to the show, shall we? I don't know if this is going to blast Jack into another time zone, but we'll see.
Can do I sound better?
Do you see that it says playing music, set up professional audio and audio settings? I've never done this with Zoom, so. Professional audio? I thought that's what I was.
Yeah.
Hey, just under a week till one of the most depressing days of every cycling fan's calendar, but let's not dwell on that, shall we? Welcome to the Rim Break Bar. I'm your bartender. This is Pack Filler. I'm Pat Bolger. Wow. I'm not sure anyone would have predicted this type of a bike race up to this point. Well, Paul did. You did. And yes, we'll get to that. I sure hope everybody's up to speed and you are ready for some fireworks. Let's introduce the panel right now. Let's get to it, shall we? Okay. Gentlemen, welcome to your usual places, except for Jack. Please respond to your introduction with a response to the following questions. You ready for this?
Questions, plural. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was a two-parter. It's kind of both end of the same theme, but it's a two-parter. It is. What was your favorite Halloween costume ever? And if you were to go trick-or-treating today, what cyclist would your costume be? I'm giving you guys a pause to think about it while the theme music plays.
I got it.
You got it? Okay. Favorite Halloween costume, and if you were going to wear one today, what would it be? So first of all, we all know he knows his shit, but just didn't expect him to hit the nail quite so perfectly on their head in terms of Tade losing yellow. Mr. Paul Main, how are you, man?
Doing all right.
So
that truly was a shot in the dark. No, I felt like it could have happened.
But you said it so confidently. It was.
Well, you said, you know, make a prediction.
Yeah.
You know,
Paddy's going to lose yellow.
Yeah, he's going to lose it that weekend.
In one of the most epic days of cycling I've seen since 1989.
Yeah.
That
was great.
Yeah. Okay. Talk to me, Halloween.
I despise Halloween and always have when I was a kid.
You did? Why?
But I remember one. I just don't enjoy dress up.
I'm me, motherfucker. You don't enjoy dress up, but
no.
We wear Lycra. I hate spandex. I hate the word spandex, by the way. It's Lycra.
Yeah, kidding. It serves a purpose. I mean, you don't see me every day wearing like Carhartt. you know, jacket and everything, but when I was at work, yeah. Okay. You know, that type of thing. It's part of your work outfit,
your
right?
Outfit. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, but I do remember one I got. I was in second grade, and my mom dressed me up as a lumberjack, and I had my dad's red and black checkered, you know, wool, and put Vaseline on my face with coffee grounds, and the coffee, it was Folgers, but it's still, the smell of coffee just was awesome. And, people thought that was a cool thing. I was a lumberjack.
You're a lumberjack.
Yeah, it gave me too much attention. I didn't like it, so that was my last Halloween. That was your second grade.
No shit.
Yep.
That was your last Halloween.
Yeah, I didn't do
it. Who listening to this podcast thinks, holy shit, that defines a ton about Paul Maine right now?
Yeah, my kids are like,
I don't want to
why
do
don't
it
you like it? And they love it. My wife's a big Halloween. That's her favorite holiday.
Really?
Yeah.
If you could do a cyclist today, well, who would you be and how would you do it?
Ludo Dirksen. Do you know who he is?
Yeah.
So for Jackson, those people in the past, I think he was a truck driver or worked in a factory or something until he was 30 years old or around then. And he was riding along and he was very strong. And they called him Popeye. Which kind of triggered it because you said you had something
in
your eye.
I've got something in my eye, yeah.
Because when he'd ride, he'd kind of squint down one eye. So they called him Popeye. But he was a workhorse and he was always there. I mean, he was hardcore Belgian rider. So Ludo Dirksen.
How would you do that, though?
I mean, just I don't know. That's what he did. And
just,
he shaved his
no,
head.
No, I mean, you just shave your head and squint your eye and
yeah,
that
yeah,
be it?
Yeah, okay. And wear a lamprey jersey. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. You and I have a lamprey theme in common.
Yeah.
Second of all, we know he's going to win the tour game, but the only question is by how much. Mr. Jackson Bolger, how are you, man?
Doing well, thanks.
Talk to me about Halloween costumes, and I'm sorry if I put you into a bad Halloween costume while you were... Well,
no.
I won't say anything, because I think I know what you're going to say, and you were the...
Mine probably would be when I was Harry Potter for 3 times.
Okay, I was going to say, you were Harry Potter multiple years in a row.
that was my favorite one. And then what I would be, I think I could do like a Peter Sagan, like world champion
long
Peter
hair.
Sagan. Yeah, like long hair.
So you get a wig and the full beard like you've got now anyway.
Yeah, so it wouldn't really be that tough. Yeah. Just in a Bora world champion kit, and that's about it.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
not hard, not hard.
Third, he's on screen behind our heads. Well, it just says his name. Live from a flip in Vancouver, is likely going to lose the tour game, so we have to think of a really good bet. Mr. Jack Broadhead, how are you, man?
That's fucked up. I'm good. The tour's not going so well for me, of course. The only thing I can say is you guys can't see my page, but I picked Roglic, Vindegaard, and no Pogacar in my top three. And he might have been third, but I picked Vindegaard at second again. I thought he was amazing going into it. I really, but that doesn't count.
But yeah, for this game, you picked Roglic. So if Pogacar wins, there's no fucking way you have a chance. But if Pogacar doesn't win,
but Pogacar still has so many points. You guys have already left me behind.
I haven't put Pogacar down in my points. I haven't been adding Pogacar into my points.
Then you're probably like,
yeah, fuck you.
You have.
I probably got a lot more. Now that I think about it, I keep forgetting I added it.
It doesn't matter. All you have to do is not be fourth, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like being chased by a bear. Just don't be last.
I mean, right.
Jack, talk to me about your Halloween memories.
So my Halloween memory as an adult was probably my best costume ever. And I was wearing a long sequin dress with a papier-mâché dick for a head, balls off to the sides of my shoulders.
Hmm.
It took a while to shape this, but it was about a 3-foot-tall penis that slid over my head with 2 eye holes. That's my number one.
Whoa. What the fuck were you?
Who's a dick?
In a dress?
It was an adult party. I mean, it was, you know, I don't know. It was just, we were just wacky. My girlfriend at the time was a couple big boobs, and I think she wore a tux or some sort of suit. So it was like a Anyway,
sounds like a heck of a party there, Jack.
If there are any,
did you walk in and have to put your keys in the bowl?
Holy fuck!
Okay, I hope my kids aren't listening.
I hope some psychiatrists are listening because there's some shit going on there that we need to talk about. And if you could do a cyclist today, who would it be?
So Giuseppe Cerone, long, if I had long, wet, black hair, no hair knit, you know, sprinting for a world championship, that would probably be, I was a Moser guy, but Cerone was a little cooler looking.
Yeah.
But just to say, another adult party, I was Lance Armstrong and my wife was a postal worker. So, I mean, that is kind of a, also a cycle.
So you've already lived.
McBurn's, bike riding party.
Okay.
So Jake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. My turn. I'm going to say it right here. I in college, I was theater major in college. So I just want to get that out of the way. At one point in time, I liked to drink in college. And so I made up a superhero.
You still like to drink.
Yeah, but I made a superhero by the name of Super Bulge.
That's not far off of my.
Yeah. No, it wasn't sexual though. It's just my last name. So, you know, I just was Super Bulge and I was just an idiot. I basically tied I made up a costume from whatever I could find in my dorm room and I tied a towel around my neck and I wore a mask and stuff like that and I just acting like an idiot all over campus. And that was my thing. So there we go. And you know what? The first thing I thought of if I was going to be a cyclist today, and I don't know if it counts as a cyclist. So I will say two. The first one I thought of was wearing, if you guys have Googled overweight cyclist, and if you've seen the picture of the guy in the Lamprey jersey, I would do that. I have a Lamprey jersey and it is double XL. It is big jersey and I would just stuff it and I would be that guy. Or I'd be Guido Bontempi, who was a big dude, you know, and I thought that'd be a good one too. And just push people. I'd just walk around shoving people because Bontempi was a fucker.
Yeah, he was.
He would just shove everybody in the sprints. So there we go.
Nobody picked Pee Wee Herman.
that counts. That's good. All right, so what can I say? Let's quit messing around and get right to it. If you were gentlemen, we last did this show on Sunday before the rest day, so we kind of preempted everybody's rest day, but that being said, we haven't been able to have this show since Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, yada, you know. And can we all agree that some exciting shit happened in this year's 2022 Tour de France? If you had to describe the last week of the tour in under 5 words or less, does anybody have any trigger words that would pop into your head? It could be a sentence or it could just be random words that pop into your head. For example, I would say best tour since 1980s. That would be what I would say, because the individuals, the attacking style, we lost something to bike racing when it became scientific, when it became race directors with their microphones into the ears of the riders. We lost something in the sport, I think, and it was that romantic, that epic, that, you know, screaming into battle kind of a mentality of the riders. And I saw that this week, especially that day on Wednesday, which was my birthday. So happy birthday, everybody. My present to you was that stage last Wednesday. I was blown away with what I saw that week. And you know, because I was thinking, okay, it's going to be another Tade sweep, but those are my 5 words, even though I kept blathering on afterwards. Does anybody want to take a stab?
Exciting, but not over.
Okay. Now those are good. Those are good. I'm going to get to future predictions, but you don't. In the back of your mind, do you think the person in yellow is going to stay in yellow?
Do you want my honest opinion about it?
You can tease.
No.
Okay, there we go. There we go. There we go. Jack Broadhead, if you had to pick five words or less to describe this last week, what would it be? They
mind-blowing.
Those are two.
Yeah, I think it's just two. Man, a few words. No. Yeah. It's really, really been unpredictable.
Yeah.
So I guess you could throw that in there too.
Yeah. Okay. Those work. Paul?
Enjoyable 80s style
of
bike racing. And I agree with you. And on our ride, we talked about it. It's like that. What I mentioned before, like in 89 when Le Mans and Fignon, they went back and forth and back, and they were always, this is what was happening in 89. Everybody thinks of the final TT, but they swapped jerseys several times.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see a little bit of that.
You actually predicted the loss of the jersey, as I said at the onset of the show, and if anybody listened to our last show. So I want your intake on this. Was it bravado from week one, or do you think a tactical decision that when you made that prediction, do you think it was because of Tade's bravado and sprinting for everything like he's a junior in a crit, or do you think it was UAE was going to make a tactical decision to kind of lay back and let something else happen, or did you think he was truly going to lose it due to an epic stage like that?
I think what came across my mind, I don't think his early jump, everybody's talking about he was burning energy, but so was Vingegaard.
Yeah.
The same. Mm-hmm. He was chasing him down, so that's a draw. I think he's pretty, came in, and he even stated later on that he was a little bit overconfident on that hill, but I think I've heard several times, and he mentioned before the break about, boy, this race was hot. It was like he kept mentioning, no one else mentioned about the heat. And everybody knows he doesn't do well in the heat. And I know the heat waves in Europe. So that was
insane. Yeah.
And I was at my local grocery store, ran into Nigel, a guy here. And he's like, I think the tour's over. And I said, no, you just watch. I mean, it's, what was it, 31 seconds at that point? And I said, he doesn't like the heat and it's going to be tough on him.
And it's not going to get any better.
No. But the one thing I didn't predict was, to me, one of the best tactics I've seen by Jumbo. And if you're going to attack, I mean, one, I think Pogacar he was cocky. He was chasing everything down because he could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when Jumbo has two riders up ahead and you can see him just basically put the brake on before the next hill, they get to go past their team car. They're the first team car, you know, on the brake, so they can grab something. They're loading up a Vindigo, and they're, you know, they've got everything, so they're feeding him. Meanwhile, isolated Pogacar is sitting there. He's not getting food. He had to hit the wall. He was bonked.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He was.
Yeah.
And so whether it's lack of drink and food and that type of thing, but even Wout, pulled off on the side of the road.
Waited.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the whole purpose. And that is part of the strategy, is that's why you get people up in the break to come back and help. And as they're falling back, they can get all their stuff to feed their their guy. So
yeah.
That part I didn't expect, but it was good.
So I don't mean to get to the main course early before we have the appetizers, but talk to me about your thoughts on the overall. We kind of got a little teaser from Jackson and how things are going to play out over the next 5 days. We've only got 5 days left.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have any major thoughts about what's going to happen, what's going to throw down, what's going to be new? Jack, do you want to go first since we don't get to see
sure.
your eyes and make vocal signs with you? Yeah.
So I think I feel like Vindegaard's going to hang on to the 2 minutes, 22 or 23 seconds or whatever he's got, which I think is enough in the final time trial. I think Pogacar is, you know, definitely a dominant time trialist, but I don't think he's got that much over him this year. Secondly, the beautiful thing about this race is we're used to seeing a leader racing in yellow and everybody posturing for second, third, fourth,
yeah,
fifth, sixth.
Yeah.
And trying to hold their position and giving up on that. This year is like, that's out of the, like every day, third and fourth place switch. Or Garrett looks like he's not going to hang on to third, and somebody else, and it has happened. He's been bumped to fourth and he's been back up to third. And it's, God, it's like the top 10 is churned because of this amazing racing that's going on. And the racing, it's crazy. You know, there's a break up the road. And we talked, I think you guys talked about this last episode when I was listening to it. Like, you know, there's a race up the road that's happening, and there's going to be an eventual winner, solo or otherwise. But the guys that are 10 minutes back in the main peloton with the yellow and white jersey, well, those two guys and Garrett are racing,
yeah,
and fighting. It's like if you had two cameras and two screens, you'd see two totally different races.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool. I mean, it's really cool. I think Vingegaard's got the strength to make it to the final time trial and survive it. And he'll probably, if you're going to get a prediction from me, he'll probably win the tour by 20 seconds or less.
Oh, okay. Okay. So there's the first gauntlet thrown down for Vingegaard. Who wants next? Who wants Who wants to bite into that and tell Jackie's full of shit, or that you agree with him wholeheartedly?
I'll go. I think there are mountains coming up, and Vinigo has lost his most important domestiques. And I think that Kuss has a lot, but I don't think he has what is needed to keep himself within that group the whole time. And I think that a Nairo Quintana desperate to get into third is going to start noticing, I got to start attacking.
Mm-hmm.
And Vingegaard can't really let Nairo Quintana go either, because if he lets him go, then Garin Thomas is going to go, then Pogacar is going to go, then he has to chase all of that. And I think it's going to become not necessarily a Jumbo-Visma attacking Pogacar, but I think it's going to be a Ineos, Arkea, and UAE all attacking Vingegaard at this point. And I think he's going to have to chase all of these different riders. And at a point, he's not going to be able to chase anymore. And I think Pogacar is going to probably gain a minute back. And then I think it's all going to be down to that time trial. And I think it's going to be, this is what I think is going to happen.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. I think on the final time trial, I think he's gonna pull a Roglic, and the pressure of this could be the first ever tour I've ever
not with won. The helmet on the back of his no. head though or anything yeah. like that, and that fucking horrible gap
exactly yeah. yeah but I bad. Think that he's gonna bad. Pull a Roglic and notice that this is the first ever tour I've ever won. Pogacar's been here twice before. This is old hat for him at this point, and yeah. time trialing is really his bread and butter when it comes to it. And I think he's gonna claw that minute back, and I would prefer to see him in second, but because Garin Thomas is such a good time trialist, I'll go out and I'll say he gets third.
You're going with Vingegaard in third
because wow. it all comes down to the time trial. That this could blow things apart, I think.
What?
Especially because no. it's long. It's long.
I don't see Pogacar having a strong enough team at this point. They're falling apart daily.
So is Jumbo-Visma.
So is Jumbo-Visma.
A strong team. I mean, Wout can climb with anybody on UAE.
Yeah, but Wout can't.
He's not a climber.
But Wout can't keep his head. It seems like he's got to be in every breakaway.
We're gonna get to that. Don't jump ahead. Don't jump ahead. Yeah. Paul, talk to me about your thoughts. Well, the next 5 days.
I think in order for Pogacar to win, he has to get within 90 seconds, and mm-hmm. maybe. Yeah. Maybe in the TT, but if you look at that, they've been shorter.
He's staring at 222 right now.
Yeah, and I think he's going to have to do, I think Vingegaard is going to have a really bad day or something. That the heat, again, is going to play havoc on him, and that being Tadej.
Thanks, global warming.
But, yeah, so I was thinking about the TTs, and in the last, actually, Vindigo is not lost more than a minute in the last few TTs that he's been with. In fact, beat him once. Mm. Actually beat Pogacar. So, but they were shorter TTs.
Yeah.
So there's that kind of like elephant in the room type thing. But I think if there's going to be a time for him to make up time, will be on Otakam, which is on Thursday.
Yeah.
Because that is, history-wise, that's a power-type climber.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like Miguel Indurain is one there with against Greg LeMond. I mean, you can just kind of set your, you know, power to the max and just hold that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if he's going to gain time, that would be it. But they're talking about temperatures of 100 degrees.
Yeah.
It's, so, or even say 40°C, which is 104 degrees. Yeah. Possibly. So it won't be that hot up that hill, but we all know when you're going 20 miles, well, they'll do 20 miles an hour kind of thing, but for us it's 10 miles an hour or something like that, and that heat just is like a dome around you. So
it's funny that you mentioned the Le Mans Fignon, because I think I mean in my mind I'm thinking we're gonna see some times that close.
Yeah. I think it'll be close.
You know, over 2 minutes sounds like a lot, but I think Tade just has this panache about him that he's just not going to go down without a fight. I think he's the kind of guy who would rather go, I'd rather be, you know, you're either first or last, you know, to go Ricky Bobby, you know, but or actually Ricky Bobby's dad. But I think we're staring down that type of a rider. So COVID's crashes, injuries, we talked about the team issues. And for a long time there, it was this idea that UAE is being extremely weakened by all these things that are happening. However, in the last several days, we've seen some incredible weakening by Jumbo-Visma with crashes, with Primoz Roglic's very... There was a lot of stir on the internet about the reasoning for Primoz's exit. You know, personally, I say, you know, for anybody who's questioning Primoz Roglic's toughness, you know, and his ability to keep going, it's like, are you shitting me? You know, that
reset his shoulder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly, he reset his shoulder on the
his
on the
back
side
was hurting.
Road.
He said,
and had a couple great days.
Yeah,
yeah.
But he said
a couple great days after that.
Yeah,
you know, like.
Yeah, exactly.
He said that his back, there was before he withdrew, was like several days prior to. He's like, I got a pain in my back. It's like a knife in it.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we just, you know, we only get, I mean, a small portion of what they never say. Hey, like, we don't know how, the extent of Vandergo's crash.
Yeah, exactly.
We really don't. Yeah. I mean, they're not going to say, yeah, he's really messed up. Attack tomorrow.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So... we don't. That's something to throw in the mix too.
So what else are we seeing? I mean, Jackson, you mentioned Sepkus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was Sepkus? Is he coming into fitness, or were they keeping him maybe in reserves for this third week of the tour? Are there any thoughts in terms of the team strategy and the mentality there?
I think they were planning on Kruijswijk being that final one, and now that he's gone, they have really only Sepkus left for a mountain domestique. I mean, and it seemed like it went well today. If Micah didn't rip his chain or his bike apart,
oh my god, what did he do there?
I don't think it was ever really revealed. Yeah. I thought it was a snap chain, just because the way he just
went stop.
Yeah, and the way his legs kind of spun afterwards, but. I don't really know what it was, but I another thing, I would have liked to have seen Micah carry him further up to see what that was really looking like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that Sepkus is probably one of the best mountain domestiques in the world right now, but I also wonder how far that's going to take him, because I feel like today was a tough climb, you know, but I don't think it was... like the long climbs, like the good 20, 30 minute type of climbs that we've been seeing as like the or category.
What's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think after a while, like Sep's going to go away and he's not going to, and Vinigo is not going to have any teammates anymore. So I think that's what's going to make this race way more interesting. And I think Nairo Quintana, I don't know what it is, but I think Nairo Quintana.
Yeah, you keep mentioning him. I haven't seen any of the fireworks ever from Nairo Quintana that I'm expected to hear.
Well, he attacked earlier last week. Mm-hmm. And I think, for some reason, I think he is the linchpin in all of this. Because I think that he was hanging all day today. He was hanging on the back, just gaining time, getting into that fourth position. And I think he's licking his chops looking at that third position now. Because he's really not far off it. And I think
it's like a minute and like a little more than a minute on, yeah, on Geraint, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think when he, like I said, it's going to be a domino effect. When he goes, Geraint's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pogacar's got to go and forcing Vinigo to go. So it's all, I think it's all going to happen because at this point, is Rob, I think Robbie McEwen said it today that Pogacar was doing attacks out of desperation, but I think everyone's desperate to be do as well as they can this year. And yeah. I think Nairo's on that track as well.
Well, Pogacar said, I will attack every hill. And mm-hmm. that's what he did today. When it comes to Sepp Kuss, you know, I was sitting there thinking, God, he was really, because last in the Alps, he really wasn't there.
Mm-mm.
But I think the long term, in my opinion, I could be wrong, but that they're saying, do not burn any energy. You mm-hmm. save it for the crucial part is these 2 days. You'll see Sepp Kuss, a major, mm-hmm. major player at that point.
Jack, your turn.
Well, I think that's correct. I think Jumbo's strategy through this tour has been just like the cycling 101 schooling of tactics. I mean, everything has a reason. Sending guys up the road, I know it was mentioned before, you know, Wout's like trying to get in every break, but also Wout is there coming back to every final 20K or when it counts because he's up the road. It's super calculated, and I think Sepp Kuss is probably getting better with the days and reserved through the first part of the tour. I totally agree with that. I don't know. I just think this last few days, last two stages, I don't know if UAE is strong enough and Pogacar has any advantage day, heat or otherwise, that is going to bring enough time to win the tour overall. There's too much time to make up. He's running out of days. And the way it looked today, and I know it's an easier stage, but today it just isn't happening. Tomorrow, maybe different. But.
Speaking of team tactics, how about the decision, and I think Jackson, somebody was talking about Wout van Aert and his inability to control himself. Wout van Aert, can we all agree, has enough to secure the green jersey? It's done. Definitely. It's over.
Unless he crashes.
Why are they still sending Wout or allowing Wout to go out into these breaks to do these kind of things? I know, Paul, you probably got a tactical reason as for which you mentioned it earlier in terms of the, you know, being there, grabbing the bottles, coming back and being there for the team. But is it, and especially, I think it was yesterday. No, it wasn't yesterday. It was 2 days ago, obviously, when Wout was going for a massive sprint. That's a sketchy situation with one of your few remaining riders. And you've got a guy in yellow. He's got green secured. When you get to the 3K mark, would you be saying, everybody, pull the fuck back? I mean, talk to me about the tactics of Jumbo-Visma and still allowing this guy to just bash and elbows in the front of these final sprints.
Well, I think it is tactical. I think they're flexing their muscles a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, he said he was going for green, and everybody's like, no one's going to be there. You can't do that. And they're proving a point. You can. They're doing a green and a yellow, you know, tactic there. So I think he's not afraid. He's a great bike handler. He showed it even in that sprint talking about when several, what was it, a week prior to that, when Sagan got all upset because he veered, Mads veered quite a bit, just about as much on that sprint as, anyway, back to last week. But, I think he's a control character. He knows himself. I think a lot of that comes from 13-year-old world champion cyclocross. You know your body.
Yeah.
I mean, and using modern technology too. How is he recovering? And I heard a statement saying, they've given me liberty to win stages, as many stages as I want, unless yellow jersey is at jeopardy. And that's when I shut down. And that might have been that one time where he just like pulled off the side of the road. We need you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to win this one. But I mean, Jumbo-Visma is certainly at the forefront, and their sponsors that have to be giddy, you know, because they're always there. They're always in the picture.
But is it a wise decision?
Yeah.
I mean, if you lose Wout, that's a gigantic chunk of the overall team performance.
Yeah, and I understand that, but I think I like this style. To me, it's like, this is bike racing. I mean, that becomes boring. You know what I mean? If everything's like we talk about, everybody's trying to keep sixth place on the GC or 10th place. They're saying, no, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to do it to the end. So. Mm-hmm.
Jackson, got any philosophies?
I think, first and foremost, it is trying to flex their muscles a little bit, show off. I think with Wout being able to do this day after day after day after day, I'm not going to say it makes me a little nervous just because it's like he could win every stage of every single day.
Yeah.
But that's another day. But it sometimes I listen to Sean Kelly and I'm like, this does seem a little odd. Like today when he went out and he waited after he got over the top of the climb, it was like, this almost seemed like, why didn't you just go for it? Because at that point, when he led him down the hill, it's like there wasn't really a point to it, you know. Yeah. He had Sepkus with him and all those other riders, but yes, like the days in yellow, I think, were the ones that really confused me the most. Like that day when he went out to like show off the yellow jersey, it did kind of feel weird because he could have won the stage that he lost it on.
Yeah.
Sometimes I find like his moves trying to get into the break a little odd. Because I also find that, like, let's say on like a big mountain stage, he goes into the break. He's not really going to have as much as he would as a fresh Wout van Aert sitting in the pack the whole time. Because I think that he could pretty much lead up almost the entire climb at a pretty hefty pace. But they don't really get that, and so I think that they are really relying on Sepkus now. That's why I said that I don't know if I really trust him in the long climbs, because it's like Nathan Van Hooydonk and
Laporte.
Yeah, and Laporte and what's his name? Tiege Benoot. I think that that's putting a lot of the trust in them to do the flatter parts, and then only Sep in the mountains, which I think is dangerous now. It wasn't before because they had the assets before, but now I think it's a little bit pushing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we lost Jack for a second here, and I'm letting everybody else know who has a phone with him, because for some reason I can't believe I'm an American man and I don't have my phone in my pocket. But hopefully Jack will log back in. Apparently Zoom's just like making me upgrade everything, because you know it's all about the money.
It's the time,
it's
right?
It's all about the money now. So in your opinion, what does Tade need to do to bring back the time?
I think he's got to jeer up everybody else. I think and I also think that everybody else needs to know that this is not over. But I'm really worried about that. I need to solidify my third place.
I think Vingegaard is going to be able to handle those attacks, though. Even if it was mano a mano, don't you think that Vingegaard is going to be able to handle and hang with that? Or is there a major crack coming soon?
I think that there will be some sort of crack. I don't know if it'll be major on a climb, but I think there will be something coming.
Paul? I think that there's certainly a potential based on his crash. What was it on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know the extent of that.
Yeah.
How, because your body reacts like 2 or 3 days later. I know because I've crashed a lot. but I think also the things that are the unknown for me is that crash, how is Vindigo feeling, you know, after the crash?
Yeah. Even a stiff shoulder is, you know, is 2 to 3% at this level is a lot.
And you're exhausted and you're tired and your body, when you're at that point, you're not getting the rest in order to repair because it's under stress all day long, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think the question will be the heat, and I think also the focus will be the last ditch effort for Pogacar has to be on the Hotokam.
Yeah.
And that will be an amazing, amazing shootout. And how is he going to play that? I mean, I think he's just going to go full gas, and if he blows up, blows up. And that's what I like about Tade. That's just the way he races. Yeah. And that's 80s style racing.
Yeah. Jack, are you with us? Jack? All right. Oh, it's connecting to his audio, and he cannot hear us yet. So I love technology.
I will say another thing that I have been noticing, and I said this the other day, that I think Vinny is kind of a boring racer. He's a really boring racer. I think he is almost like a Chris Froome racer.
What?
Yeah, and the reason why I say that is because I think that he will follow, put one attack in, and then just never do anything else.
But it, that's. I was just about to say, but it got the job done. Yeah. But is that exciting?
Nope.
Well, I think he will put the sword in him. I think that's why Hotokam is like you don't want to. It's like you're. You start the Tour de France as a big tube of toothpaste, and every stage rolls up, and you're not getting any more in.
Yeah.
And so where you need to goop it up, you're going to. And I think that's where, I mean, because the next day is pretty much a sprint stage, and then after that is the TT. So they'll be recovering, licking the wounds, you know, all the GC guys for the TT, because that's where it's going to, the next stage. So I think Hotokam is all or nothing. And if he sees Pogacar just weakening just a little bit, you got to have that buffer, and I think that's where he's just going to rip. Yeah. So if he can,
Sounds like we got Jack.
I see you, Jack.
We got you, man.
Hi.
Hey, sorry about that. Hey. Apparently, if you're a cheap, if you're a cheap asshole, Zoom only gives you 40 minutes of time, and I would like to raise my glass to the cheapest asshole in the room. But
to me, all right.
Is that me?
No, that's me. That's me. I was drinking to myself. So let's play a short game, shall we? It's called Should They Be Happy? Okay. I'm going to provide you with a rider, a team, or something along those lines. You tell me if they should be happy with how things are currently going in this Tour de France. Okay? So, I'd like to keep it to a shortened response because I know this group and I know all of us, and we all have a tendency to be like, yeah, but boo. So let's start. First one, I'm going to allow Jack to go first because we cut him off and I actually shut the internet off for him. Jack, should Geraint Thomas be happy?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Jack.
Yes. Sorry that was delayed. I sighed and thought before I answered. I think he should be
I think he feels like there's still a chance. I mean, I know he's just watching these guys just beat each other. Oh, I should stop. Beat each other up. But basically, I think he's waiting for his opportunity. I think he's going to hang on for third place.
I saw a meme somewhere where there was a guy sitting in a pub looking at his phone. And it, underneath the guy looking at his phone was Garrett Thomas. And then there behind him are three guys just in a full-blown fight, just kicking the shit out of each other. And it was like Jumbo Visma, Tade, and Vingegaard.
Yeah.
And he's just like staring at his phone, just like, yeah, I'm fucking good, man. You guys just keep doing your shit. His ability to maintain his own knowledge of his body and just... It makes us old guys feel good. I'm not going to lie. It makes me feel really fucking good because I know that I can't handle Jackson's accelerations. Mm-hmm. I can't do it anymore. So my only hope is to just kind of grow and try and keep up. And I think Garrett Thomas is doing that without the gooby dooby doob part. Paul, Garrett Thomas, should he be happy?
I think he is. I think a lot of it. It shuts down a lot of doubters, and I think that I want him to do well, but I think his style of racing is just all pure numbers. That's the Ineos way, and so he knows it keeps well, just like that meme showed.
Yeah.
He's just waiting, but it all based, too. You can, if your numbers, if you can't push those or hit those numbers because of recovery, you're screwed.
Yeah.
So
he loses incremental amounts.
Yeah.
So we all know it's probably not going to be him on yellow unless a COVID outbreak hits.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Jackson, should Garrett Thomas be happy?
I think so. I think he's been racing really well and really intelligently, and just like he doesn't really base it off of other people. He just picks his own pace, and mm-hmm. I respect that in him.
All right, Garrett. Jack Broadhead, should Nairo Quintana be happy?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, Paul Main, should Nairo Quintana be happy?
No, I don't think he's satisfied. I don't think he's happy. I think he wants more. And so, he'll go on attack.
Jackson.
But he should be happy.
He should, but he, God damn it, swallow your anger like an American male and be happy.
Hold on. When I originally I thought he'd be happy with top 10, but then I saw him go on the attack last week on one of the mountain climb or on one of the mountain stages, and it made me think that I think he, if he could, I think he would want a race to win this whole thing. This is the most competitive I've seen him.
Mm-hmm. The French, Spanish, and Italian bike fans and teams. I'm starting out by saying that because there has not been a French stage winner, a Spanish stage winner, or an Italian stage winner in this tour yet. Should they be happy?
They're looking at the Canadian. They're looking at the Canadian.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, oh my gosh. Yeah, Steve Bauer. Did you see Steve Bauer's face
today?
And
the Danish. God.
Yeah, the Danish are kicking ass. Exactly. So,
Fuck yeah.
So should they be completely disenchanted, or should they, is it over?
Cycling.
Yeah, yeah. How can you imagine being the amount of time it's been since a French winner of this tour has been Bernardino?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a long fucking time. That's a long fucking time. Do you give up, or do you just, we don't have a national tour, so, I mean, I can't say one way or another. Are you okay with it? Do you think they should be happy, Paul?
I would say no. I wouldn't say they're happy, but I'm going to throw this statistic out. There's only been three non-Tour de France winners that are non-continental European winners.
Wow.
Is that including
Voldemort?
Nope, that's not even... Well, even if you... No, that's not counting him.
Okay.
So can you name him?
Egan Bernal is one of them.
Non-continental... European.
Bernal is one of them.
Yeah.
Bernal.
Yeah.
Roche? No.
That's
part of Europe, Pat.
Technically, Chris Froome.
Yeah.
Because he's South Africa.
Yeah.
But also England, because England's not technically part of the EU anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I
see what you did there.
We'll throw the England. England is a part of it.
Yeah.
So the
Floyd Landis.
No, I hate it.
See what I did there?
What's his name?
I can't believe you haven't even
Who's the American? I forget what his name is. Greg LeMond.
Yeah. Greg LeMond. Oh, fuck.
And the other one's Australian. See if you can come up with that.
It's Kit Elevens. Yeah, there we go.
Only three. So, Jack, yes, I think just to answer your question.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Spaniards.
They should be pissed. They should be pissed.
Times.
Jack, I do want to say that now that we've got video on, you've got your bike in the background, and everybody needs to see that that fucking thing exists.
There's two of them.
It's amazing.
Are you loving it?
There's a mirror. Mm-hmm.
I am.
Nice hat, by the way.
You can't appreciate. Thank you.
Yeah.
You can't appreciate electronic shifting until you ride it and go, wow, I could never go back. At this point,
really,
it's like an F1 car versus, not that I've driven an F1 car, but versus my, you know, like 1995, you know, Mitsubishi Lancer or something. It's just a whole different world.
Shit.
It's robotic and it's crazy and I love it. There are glitches. I mean, I'm on Paul, everything he says, you know, the disc rub, the, there's some quirks that I'm trying to work it out, but if I wear my AirPods, I can't hear any of that shit.
Anyway. Ineos, Jack. Since I got you, should Ineos be happy right now at this point in the tour?
Well, I don't think they, as a corporation, will never be happy. Unless they're winning the tour.
I thought you were saying until the internet. I mean, until the environment's completely toast, they shouldn't be happy. See the size of that fucking car.
They've had some great days. They've had some great days, and Garrett looked really good. But their other players are just kind of like, you know, they're there one day, they're not. But
yeah,
they will not. They're not happy. They're not happy.
Jackson Bulger, I'm giving everybody an individual question now, just because I realize how long we have a tendency to talk, and this is especially for Jackson Bulger. Should Peter Sagan and Total Energy be happy?
Yeah, he's gotten like 45 fourth places over the past 2 weeks. I think they'll be happy because they are well and truly. What other chance do they have besides Peter?
Yeah.
None. Especially with Daniel Oss out getting injured.
Oh, my God. Hope he's okay. Yeah, that was a bad crash on Cobble's Day.
Yeah. But I think they'll be happy. I think the fact that their sponsors were represented somehow. I mean, Pierre Latour was up there. Edvald Bosenhagen. They've been getting some exposure. I think Peter wants to win.
Yeah, I mean, for Peter to walk away from this without anything like that, that's got to be...
We are in a generation, though, of... We talk about Tade and Wout and Vanderpool, but it's like it's so much more than that. We have, Jakobsen, we have Philipsen, like...
Pidcock.
Mm-hmm. I mean, all of these separate riders that can finish so well on a flat stage, it's tough for... I mean, Pedersen, Stuyven, all these different riders. It's the caliber's gone up, and I don't know if it's Peter's gotten weaker or they've just gotten stronger.
Yeah,
it's not the same racing that we've seen.
Okay, I'm gonna throw this. I'm gonna combine three: Bora Hansgrohe, Quickstep Alpha Vinyl, because we know what the demons they were dealing with at first. And I'm going to allow each of you guys to have a quick, you can pick one of these three teams: Bora Hansgrohe, Quickstep Alpha Vinyl, or Lotto Soudal, because in case nobody knows, Soudal is set to switch in 2023, mm-hmm. reportedly taking it away from Lotto and over to their Belgian rivals, Lefebvre's Quickstep team. On Tuesday morning, Lotto Soudal announced that the sealant manufacturer would end its sponsorship after the 2022 season. That's got to be brutal for what Lotto Soudal has been doing. Lotto Soudal has been said to continue. But obviously Soudal has been a gigantic sponsor within the team. By the way, does anybody know what Soudal creates?
Yeah, caulking and...
Yeah, Soudal. So there we go. Mm-hmm. So I'll allow everybody to pick a team of those three: Bora Hansgrohe, Quickstep Alpha Vinyl, or Lotto Soudal. Should they be happy? Paul, you're
I'll do Bora. Bora, I said they're a surprising team because they lost a lot of classic riders, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
So they've done well in the Giro. They did very well, and I think they're for you know not having you know mediocre talent as people would put it. They're doing fairly. Vlasov is in the top 10 now.
Yeah,
he had a couple of bad days in the first week, but yeah, I think they should be happy. I mean, I think they were hoping for more, but they got to be happy. Yeah.
So you think they're happy? Okay,
yeah, I would. I would be if I was them.
Yeah. Jack, you want to pick either either of those sure. remaining Quick Step or Lotto Soudal? Jackson's going to be thrown under the bus.
I'll go with. I'm sorry. I'll pick Lotto. Man, I guess I've never been a big McEwen fan, and
oh yeah,
that guy can't fucking climb a hill to save his life. This is the wrong tour to bring to. Put your eggs in McEwen's basket.
There's
a couple sprinters like that. This is the wrong tour. This tour is brutally hard. Even on the days that you don't think are a climbing day, they're just too hard for this group of sprinters. Now, Sagan would do well. Vanderpool if he was on form, but fuck, McEwen's.
Ewan. Caleb Ewan.
Him ride.
Yeah.
I mean, Ewan. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Caleb Ewan is.
Robbie. Robbie would be happy to know that you think he's still in the peloton.
I know. Yeah. But anyway, Caleb Ewan is just depressing to watch because he's just bringing the whole team right off the bat.
The emotional roller coaster he's got to be going through because I don't know, but he seems like he's a really cool dude, Caleb Ewan. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like this isn't fair. I mean, it just seems like he's just getting slapped left and right with crashes. You know, he was the first one to go down in the Primoz Roglic crash.
So did in the Giro too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just been bad luck out there.
And they're on relegation bubble.
Yeah. Jackson, I'm gonna leave you with Quick Step Alpha Finals. Should they be happy?
Nope. They
with a stage win. Two stage wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. I think
first two.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that they will probably have wanted a couple more of the sprints.
Mm-hmm.
I think they wish Jakobsen could have stayed with some of the climbs. And I also think that on some of those classic type of days, like the days that Wout won and he did his like eagle or whatever celebration, I think they would have liked Casper Asgreen to be there or Yves Lampaert or one of those type of riders rather than just letting Wout blow everything apart.
He was so dominant those first few days.
Yeah. And I don't think they'll win another stage. I don't think Jakobsen is going to be able to take that Champs-Élysées ride because I think that I mean, is Michael Morcos?
No, he got drunk.
Michael Morcos, he didn't make the cut.
Time cut off.
Yesterday, 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. They keep thinking there was a stage yesterday.
But then if it's a quick step sprinter, they're not going to win it.
He's such a powerful
force. So vital. Yeah, it's crazy. I think.
Especially the Champs, because he just knows how to thread that needle. And what a blow to that team. Yeah.
I think if it's anybody that wins it, it's Wout or Ewan.
Speaking of teams and transfers, has anybody heard the multiple rumors surrounding the most popular rider not in the Tour de France, Mark Cavendish?
Mm-hmm.
There are multiple rumors spreading around that, number one, he's hanging around the EF Easy Post camp, saying hi to them,
bumping elbows,
as well as B&B hotels, because B&B has been rumored to have a gigantic budget boost recently. And a gigantic budget boost is, number one, that it could afford a rider like Cavendish, and number two, that because they are a French team, there's almost a platinum guarantee that they're going to be able to ride the Tour de France, and Mark Cavendish is going to be nicely set up to potentially break that stage win record.
What a screw you to Lefebvre.
Yeah.
Win it on another team.
Right? So, does anybody have any other scoops other than that? Because I've been scouring the internet to try and find anything beyond that, but, where do you see Cav landing, and what would be the most beneficial place? Jack, I'll let you go first. Sorry.
I don't know. Just so, tell me, was EF Did it come out of Garmin? And
yes.
Is there a relationship?
Jonathan Waters.
Was he ever a Garmin rider?
No. Nope.
No. He was, it was Columbia T-Mobile, High Road. Yeah.
That was
HTC.
Okay.
HTC High Road. Thank you. Yeah.
So regardless of that, like whoever's going to bring him to the tour, I guarantee that the negotiating table is, if you don't bring me to the tour, I'm not signing these papers. If that happens.
Yeah.
I think that this, with the British National Championship win and not getting selected to the tour and how the tour is really going for Jakobsen, I kind of think that there's a lot of fuel for the fire.
Yeah.
It may be his last year, but I guarantee he'll be ultra motivated by the way this year went.
Paul, do you...
Because he's proven to have some form.
Yeah. Yeah. Paul, do you see a team like Easy Post or... I should mention the title sponsor first. Education First, Easy Post. Or a team like B&B Hotels being able to provide Cavendish with the horsepower... And I mean, Cavendish has been known to float the wheels. Now he did. He rode the British National Championships like a classics fucking rider. Mm-hmm. Is this something that could get him across the line first, even once in a Tour de France? Either of these teams?
I say no, because you have teams like Quickstep, which will have extra motivation to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, it'd be a vendetta, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I think as in horsepower for leadouts, I think EF probably has more of a capability to do it than B&B Hotels, but it depends on what B&B wants to do.
What they have with this extra money.
With this extra money, are they going to dump some low end, get some leadout guys and call up, I don't know who's on contract, and say, hey, Michael Morkow.
Yeah.
How would you like, to lead out a guy and make history? So,
Pierre Latour is going to get this phone called. What? No. I have to feed my children. Sorry. That was a terrible dialect. I don't know.
It was
know
a
my
mixture
dialect.
Of French and
it was a little Spanish.
Yeah.
I almost sounded like Alberto Contador. I'm not liking Alberto Contador.
No, I don't. No. Bring back. Wiggins.
Bring Bradley. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's predict, everybody, shall we? Jackson, you're going to get to go first. Your top three in Paris.
Do you mind if I see something on the transfers too?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, of course. Go for it. Yeah.
I think that Cav, if he goes, he'll go to B&B. I don't think he'll go to EF, because if he goes to EF, he changes the ethos of what that team is. It's kind of like the kids with not a lot of money doing
ragtag
a lot with it. Yeah.
Kind of a thing. Yeah.
But also I find that you bring Cav, you bring Specialized, you bring Oakley, you bring all this sponsorship that is not as, let's be really honest.
Oakley and Specialized are going with Cav anywhere he goes.
And then you lose Puck, you lose Cannondale, two sponsors that are going to go with a Palace collaboration, Specialized and Oakley. Not so much.
The business card.
I know. But what was your question about? Was it about predictions for the last
week?
Yes.
Final podium. What would you say?
I would love to see a Pogacar 1, Thomas 2nd, Vinigo 3rd, but I think it will be Pogacar 1, Vinigo 2nd, Thomas. Or Quintana. Ooh. I think those could be those could be close.
Jack Broadhead, final podium in Paris.
Well, since I'm probably going to be the punished in our game.
And I want the listeners to come up with a beauty punishment.
I may as well continue with that theme of picking with... I was thinking about this on a ride. I'm kind of picking with heart, like Paul does, and he always loses. I think I'm kind of like feeling like Paul Maine.
Don't go there. It's awful.
It's awful. Gotta wear that fat jersey.
Yeah. The ugly kid of shame.
So Vindegaard win. Forgot your second and Garrett third. I don't think Quintana's gonna pull this top three off. So, and as much as I'd like at this point, see Vindegaard and Pogacar destroy themselves, and Garrett win the tour, and we all blow our minds again.
Crazy.
Because that would be, how good a tour would that be?
Yeah.
We'd watch this. Oh, Pogacar's got it. It's over. And then this Vindegaard thing is the most exciting thing that's happened in the tour for years and years and years. What if we had another Thomas pulls off the time trial of a lifetime and somehow
wins
the
tour? Awesome.
That would be amazing. That'd but be that's really not cool. going to happen. I go Vindegaard, Pogacar, and Thomas.
Paul, final three.
I'd match his three.
You do?
I think it's going to be close, and I think that Vindegaard will win probably within 30 seconds, I think. It'll get that close.
I'm with you. I'm with Vingigo. By the way, am I the only idiot who thought that Vingigo was a nickname?
Vindegaard?
Vingigo. Yeah. And I thought it was Vingegaard. Uh-huh. And I keep saying Vingegaard because I'm an American.
I do too.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him Vindegaard.
Yeah. Vingegaard.
Well, we need
Vingegaard. Yeah.
Anna Mariah to...
On Mariah would she would help us. Yeah. I'm gonna go with Vingegaard. I'm gonna go with Pogacar in second, even though I picked Pogacar to win the entire thing. Why can't they be Smiths
American
and Andersons and stuff like that? And then I would love to see Garrett Thomas pull off a third. I would love to see him on that.
He'll
podium,
have a good
so
TT, but I will.
That.
I think that's the only thing it's going to guard off. Yeah. If he loses any time this week to Quintana, it will be
on
that TT.
I think in a final TT of that distance, what is it, 40K? 40K. Mm-hmm. I think Garrett Thomas can crush Quintana in that much time.
50-minute effort.
I think he can take that much
time. I think that TT, I'm telling you what, I think that is going to absolutely screw this tour to a point that we have not seen.
Oh, huh.
I think it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
It is. What's the profile of it?
Fairly flat, a little bit of rolling. I think the elevation, what is it, 500 feet maybe? Maybe less.
It's 20, right?
20, yeah.
20.
We are not.
And it's gradual downhill, but with
it is.
With some, a little bit of humps here and there.
Yeah. So Quintana could get his teeth kicked in.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, and he's done the work. I mean, he's not a slacker, but he's done what he can. So how about thoughts on.
I bet Thomas is going to have the most. I think Thomas is going to have the most matches going into the TT. And he's just going to have the most left because of his.
That's a good call.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way to say it, yeah. Simon Getchke staying in polka dots. Anybody, yes or no?
Yes.
Paul says yes.
Yeah, I think Nielsen Palace is really the only one who's going to challenge him, and I don't think he's going to challenge him.
Yeah. Jack Getchke holding on to polka dots.
I agree.
Wow. I keep thinking that there are major climbs still to come and that
he's going out front with the break.
He is.
Every time.
He is.
Yeah.
Would it be the first bearded polka dot winner?
It could be.
Yeah.
And it won't be Quinn Simmons because he shaved his off.
He did.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Hey, can I ask you guys a little bit about the American presence this year? Mateo Jorgensen, Brandon McNulty. We're seeing Quinn Simmons at the front a lot.
Sepp Kuss.
Are we in a renaissance with our American riders? I mean, I've been enjoying seeing a lot of those guys up the front. Mateo's, I didn't like seeing him on his back today in that corner, but God damn, they're riding well. They're really riding well. I don't know if we have any future tour winners on our hands, but we've got some really good riders.
Yeah, I think if Sepp Kuss was on a different team, I think he could have won something. But I don't think he ever will.
Mm. You don't think so?
Nope.
You don't think he'll go to Bay and Bay Hotels and be the overall leader with Mark Cavendish as a sprinter?
No.
Rumor mill!
Nice.
Yeah. Rumor mill!
I think he's pretty happy.
Heard it first here, everybody. Too, yeah, he's probably getting paid really well.
And just, you know, the support that that team can give. Mm-hmm.
Give this tour a letter grade so far, Jackson.
O and A, I don't really know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody does.
Jack Broadhead.
A veering towards an A plus. Just because of that, exactly what Jackson said. It's every day, like right now, two and a half minutes is like normally be like, you know.
It's over. Yeah.
Pins and needles right now. Well, yeah, if Pogacar had 2.5 minute lead, we would just be bored and done with it and over it and looking towards Tour of Spain. Yeah. But this is a very exciting tour day to day. So there's not been a boring, not much of a boring stage here or there.
Yeah. Paul Mayen, letter grade.
Same thing. For the same reason Jack said. Every stage, whether it's the GC chase, that race, or the race for winning the stage, it's been ignited from kilometer zero. It seems like every stage.
In my opinion, one of the best tours since the Voldemort years.
Yeah.
Honestly, one of the most exciting ones I've seen. Anybody have any major predictions? Jack, I'm going to lose you in 10 minutes. So any major, this is fucking Zoom. Any major predictions within the next 5 days?
Speak quickly.
Yeah.
I, if it's for me, no. I think that I've already said my, you know, top three. So I just don't see anything getting too crazy on the next two ridiculous days in the Pyrenees, and it's just all tied up going into the final time trial at 2:20.
I'm saving you for last, Paul. Any major predictions that you're going to see within the last week? For example, I said somebody from the old guard is going to win a stage. Does Michael Matthews count?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Paul said yes. Yeah.
No.
Paul said yes.
He's an old guard.
I'm good.
He's been around more than Sagan.
Yeah. So
I don't.
Anyway. Jackson predictions.
I think Roman Bardet is going to keep dropping. I think he's going to keep dropping places.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to see a Frenchman in the top five at least.
Yeah,
I was too. Mm-hmm.
But I also think that I think people are going to start to see that there is a weakness in the Jumbo-Visma team. And
machine.
It's not just going to be Tadej attacking. I think everybody will go.
Yeah.
They have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Paul Mayen.
I think it'll be
prognosticator of prognosticators.
Well, we'll see. I'll probably be eating crow here this week. I think we'll see it get very close. But and I think the effort will be on Pogacar, on the Otakam, and I don't think he's going to quite make it, but he's going to grab quite a bit where there's that teetering point where it'll be Vingegaard going crossing a line thinking, oh, he just saved it. Maybe the TT is on Saturday, so it will be a cliffhanger on Saturday, but I think Vingegaard will be able to defend it. So,
my prediction for the next 5 days is I will watch the finale of Stranger Things. That's it. That's my prediction. Jack's dog is on the thing. Oh, and you're including a telephone number there, by the way, Jack.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking with the whole Stranger Things. I agree with Paul. I think we're going to see one of the closest tours since Le Mans Fignon. I mean, I think it's going to be unbelievable. It just popped into my head. I'm going to say it. I think Quintana's going to win a stage. There, I just said it. But something came into my head, and I'm going to say it. I don't think it's true.
Somebody's cursed.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I just fucked his life over. So
Richie Port, he's going to win.
Richie Port is going to win the tour. Hey, before we finish, though, let's get to some other news. I don't know if you guys have heard about the continuing drama of the U.S. Criterium racing scene. heated aggression on a blisteringly hot day. This is from our friends at Cycling News. Racing ignited sides at the conclusion of the men's opening contest at the Salt Lake Criterium doubleheader, with a final lap controversy between Michael Hernandez from Best Buddies Racing and Justin Williams of Legion of Los Angeles. I intentionally paused there because I think Legion of Los Angeles is just a wonderful name for a soap opera. Because it is! Spilling over into a fiery exchange of words and then fists. The physical altercation between Hernandez and Justin Williams happened after the race on Saturday, resulted in a disqualification and a 72-hour suspension of both riders by the chief referee, as well as $500 fines, doled out for both the Best Buddies team and the leader, team leader and the Legion of Los Angeles co-founder.
How long was the suspension?
72 hours.
That's it?
Yeah. Okay. So, anybody want to take a stab at this? Jack, Zoom is giving me 6 more minutes with you. So, do you have any... I just want to open this up. I mean, in terms of your overall thoughts, in terms of... the drama that is USA Cycling, and when I say USA, I mean United States Cycling, the crit scene. Is anybody exhausted by everything that surrounds Legion of Los Angeles? I know I'm sounding like I don't like Legion of Los Angeles, and I don't think I do. Anybody? Jack, go ahead first.
Yeah, so like all the criteriums in the past, 40 years of median around bike racing, I've never known so much drama. I mean, there's an occasional thing, but it doesn't seem to go on for years now. This has been years, and I don't know if it has to do with the lack of big racing in the U.S., the lack of professional
We've turned into a crit nation.
U.S. racing.
Yeah.
We have. And so, like, all of the, Sepkus and U.S. serious professionals have gone overseas and don't want to have anything to do with this. And it's left behind a bunch of gym rats. And I'm not saying in the sense of those guys or any particular guy, but the mentality of the cockfight that's going on is new. It is new in the past 7 years with this series. And yes, there's always the same. I think there's a lot of jealousy. I think there's a lot of egos, and they've come to a head so many times that the drama is really getting old for probably more for the older group like myself, where we never saw this. Like, would I go race the criterium? No, if I was younger, knowing that, or would want my kid to be a part of that, knowing that that's the mentality. I mean, are we becoming professional wrestling? Is this the WWE criterium series? Yeah. So it's changed that much, and there's two distinct. It's almost like track has become, even that, but it's just different. There's two distinct professional cycling routes in the U.S. The crit riders, guys that want to go to Europe.
Damn. Jack, I only have 2 minutes and 36 seconds with you left, but if you disappear from us, that was good, man.
You want to look at my bike again?
That was a gorgeous bike. Guys, does anybody else have a stance on the? I don't want to sound opinionated, but I almost said bullshit.
Yeah, I think I guess I have two things that really came to mind with it. There's that quote out there that's kind of like, "Am I the asshole?" like when so much shit gets stirred, and they're always at the center. It's kind of a common denominator situation when they're always like, how could it be us? Let me show you the facts.
Yeah.
No, the facts are there. You're always at the center of this shit. And it's kind of getting annoying. And my other thing about it is it's like, this is what happens when you continually act like a cocky asshole. Somebody's going to say, hey, you're being a dick. I'm going to fight back. And so then when those high egos, like Jack mentioned, really flare, you're going to get a physical altercation. And I saw on Instagram where they were saying, these are the real facts. Everybody's like, if you want to believe a fake story, no, you got in a fight.
We're back to fake fucking news. We're back to those words.
You got in a fight at a crit. Accept it and move on. Stop being a baby. I mean, it's just annoying because it's not sport anymore.
Yeah.
And it's not really the center of what we love. It's not people against people really going at their full extent to see what they can do. It's watch me be better than you and I'm going to talk about it on YouTube. And it's annoying.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are really annoying me now.
I'm gonna upgrade to next time for Zoom Pro, and I promise you can stay on for the full show. But it's gonna boot you, man. We love you. Love you.
See you, my friend.
Bye.
Take all care, right. Man.
See you guys. Love you guys. Bye.
Paul, you're taking the crits.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, of course, I haven't seen the footage yet. I saw the footage of the fight.
I saw the footage of the turn, and it's so hard to tell.
Yeah, and it looks like, you know, well, you had the two. Corey supposedly had the line, and what's his name?
Hernandez.
Hernandez, thank you. Hernandez, you know, plowed into him.
Yeah.
And you don't mess with somebody's line, but, you know, everybody knows that. He shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But we don't know what happened before then.
Yeah.
And of course, they have all their GoPros. They've got people on the side of the road. That's part of their taking pictures, and they do their own productions and stuff. I don't like to see this, like you said, WWF type, you know, professional wrestling things. Yeah. I don't. I'm probably old school, and I have been in altercations, and it's time to just leave it. You just don't bring it back up every time. And the thing is, I was a part of, and it wasn't before the race started. It was down in Yakima on a crit, and we all had to stage behind this particular area. And this one guy, Todd, who is a track rider that you know, was hiding in the infield. And they said they opened up the gate because we all tried to get in there in a good position. And it was a tight start with a 180 degree corner at the first corner, so position is really important. And he jumps over the snow fence and gets in the front line. People are like, "Hey, Todd, what the hell's going on?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "Hey, you know, screw you." And he's like, and so Phil Miller says, "Todd, get in the back." And he makes this scene with crowds of people. And that's the part I have. Cycling has already got his back against the wall.
Yeah.
When they see stuff like that, it becomes more of a joke.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to fight with cycling shoes on. So
you see most cyclists fight. Yeah. It's just pitiful. Stupid.
Don't move fast enough. I'll slip.
Yeah. With their arms this big.
Yeah.
You know, like, so. So, yeah, it's a stain, and I wish it didn't happen. And whether they being L.A., think this is a good thing to help promote and get people involved, I think it's a negative thing. And
we're in a culture of Real Housewives. We're in a culture where Kardashians, where screaming gets attention.
Yeah, I don't like it.
We are in a culture where that floats to the top. Sometimes I wonder if that culture is does America get the joke? Are we watching these people because they're ridiculous, or do we agree? And I don't know the answer to that sometimes, and that scares me. And I worry about the state of USA Cycling. I worry that we're in a future where our race is going to happen either on gravel or on a closed business park on a weekend, because that's the only roads we can secure. And that road racing is going to go away. And I know that USA Cycling knows this, and I know they're trying to combat it, but I don't know if they're doing it. And that scares me, because I don't want us to turn into a WWF type of sport.
Mm-hmm.
The history of the sport is beyond that. And I think we've all been using the word professionalism. And I don't think, I'm not picking on Legion Los Angeles. I'm not picking on Best Buddies. I'm not picking on Butcher Box or whoever the fuck those teams are. But I think I think as a collective group, they all need to understand the mantle that they're holding and how important this is. And if they're going to act like fucking children, then piss off. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much more at stake here. Mm-hmm. And I know that the Williams brothers, and I'm gonna go there. I know that the Williams brothers are the first people of color to do amazing things in the sport, and I appreciate that. I think it's fucking awesome. But you know what? Look around you guys and understand the importance of what you're doing. Don't take the fucking high road like you are better than everybody else, because it's not gonna work. There, sorry, off soapbox. I mean, it's scary me, because this bullshit. I mean, we're gonna turn to a fucking NASCAR joke.
And that, you're right. NASCAR went through a period where guys got crashed out. They would go on the track while the race is going, throw their helmet at the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's crap. That, you know, to me was a joke. I'm like, this is a stupid race. Yeah. It's not.
I mean, when we saw Will Smith slap Chris Rock live on television, a lot of people
that's what we're turning into.
Well, I was about to say a lot of people were saying that don't praise him. That's promoting violence. Yeah. And realistically, what we're talking about is if you're going to promote that on social media, you once again are promoting violence in a sport that doesn't need that.
Yeah. And don't put out a gigantic press release and all this kind of stuff defending yourselves. And just, you know, sometimes it's okay to just go, it was a bad day.
I lost my cool.
We lost our cool. Everybody fucked up. We had a discussion behind closed doors. Yeah, we fought afterwards and we're sorry. You know, it's okay to say that kind of shit. Anyway, there we go. I don't know. Are we going to end on a bad note like that? You know, I don't know. Does anybody have any events?
Well, tomorrow's going to be great.
Tomorrow is going to be great. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a
brand new events.
Day. Yeah. Has anybody
State championship?
Something?
TT.
Paul is doing a bike race. Paul is doing a bike race. Though it's a TT, and I don't count that as a bike race.
Oh,
but that's okay.
You should talk to your buddy John Galloway about that.
What?
John Galloway loves
TTs. Well, that's because he's over there. That's all they do over there.
Well, you talk to him about that.
He doesn't race.
He used to, and he still really enjoys TTs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Bike Fit Sam's going to go too.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. He's going to fit me up, get me squared away.
I'm glad Jack's not online anymore, because we were supposed to go to his house this weekend. This upcoming weekend.
Yeah.
And race some crits.
Couldn't do it. Couldn't make it.
Couldn't make it. Life fell into the way. And 35-minute crit for a six-hour drive is...
Yep. Well, it'd be worth it just to see Jack, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can say
I'm
that
I'm going
now.
To see Jack. Oh, there's a bike race.
Yeah.
But I can't get free that
you
weekend.
You know what? Damn it. You're right. You're right. I agree. It's all about just seeing Jack.
Yeah.
I am going to do the bike pack weekend. If I were to open that sliding door, the bags are on the gravel bike right now. And they're, I don't want to say atrocious.
I will.
They're fucking huge. They are gigantic.
You know, like big banana sticking out.
Coming out of the ass. Yeah. Out of my saddle. It's huge. But I have a tent in there. A two-person tent in that bag. And it's not that heavy. So I don't know. I'm at least going to do a 2 to 3 day kind of a weekend here coming up. I just haven't picked my route yet. Because I was supposed to be finished with Across Washington. But didn't do it. Anybody else got anything?
Nope.
Any rides, any races, any challenges, any ways you want to make yourself a better person? No? Nobody has
any. Coeur d'Alene, Grand Fondo in September?
That's it. We're down to fucking Grand Fondos.
Yeah, we'll see.
God damn it.
There's an Oktoberfest at the end of it. That's the only thing that's really kind of luring me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's depressing. I wish we had, you know. I promoted my race, so I don't have to do anymore. But God, I just want somebody to pick up the mantle and just do a simple little club race. Yeah. You know, if we all did one, I miss the days of the USCF making clubs put on one race a year. It was magical. Magical. Why can't we have that anymore? All right. I wax sentimental enough. Anybody got anything you want to go out on? No. Okay, the Tour de France is over in 5 days, everybody. So, points.
Oh,
points.
Yeah.
We didn't get Jack's points. I bet he has like 6 points.
Yeah, he might.
I will go. I can go first.
I'll go first because I'm last.
But there you go. I didn't add my Tadej Pogacar points. In. So you I can might do be that. More than what I think. But anyway, Paul, what you got? 18. Jackson, I'll let you go last because you're kicking ass, right? Okay. Yeah. I am unofficially at 21 points.
To be fair, I think you and I may be tied.
Oh, I forgot to put... Oh, I didn't. I had Toddy. I haven't put those
yeah,
in either.
See, we forget. We keep forgetting the Toddy Pogaccia points.
Because I have 31 overall.
I don't think I'm going to get 10 points out of Toddy.
Didn't Toddy win two stages?
Yes, he did.
That's 10 points.
I got
to
start all
I
over.
I might have. I'm going to have to start all over too. Yeah. I'm going to have to all start all over. So everybody, if you're at home, remember that it is 5 points for first in a stage.
Two for second
and one for third.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for stages. And then everything else is a matter of final jerseys. So it's just stage points, stage points, stage points. And for example, if you picked Wout Van Aert, there's a very large chance you're leading this competition.
Like,
I keep looking at Jackson. Yeah.
Exactly. Did we decide if the white got anything? White jersey?
Yeah, because we would all have that.
Yes, 30.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's green 60.
It's 50 for yellow and 30 for green, 30 for polka and 30 for white.
Okay.
So somebody, if you picked green polka dot and white, you can get 90 points. That's more than winning the yellow jersey. So in other words, my point system is completely flawed, but I don't care. It's fun.
Yeah.
So for those of you playing along at home, send us your points. I think we had the super secret pack filler club on Facebook earlier, and I just opened it up for everybody. And I think the only question you have to answer to get in is, what about cycling does Paul Main hate?
Oh.
Yeah. So I will know if you're a listener of the show. If you say, rim brakes, tubeless tires, something like that,
There's a long list.
There is. Yeah. Gigantic list. Most of the time you could probably just smash the keyboard with a hand and it'll form a word and it'll be something Paul doesn't
like. Yeah, he hates that too.
All right. Jackson Bulger, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Paul, of course, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Jack Broadhead, thanks for being online, buddy. I hope all goes well. Jack Broadhead is riding his bike every day.
That's awesome.
Yeah. His wife looked at him and said, "You bought that bike, you have to ride it every day." That's a good marriage.
Yeah.
Hold on to that one. Everybody else, have a great time. Keep the rubber side down and vive le tour.
Yep.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.